Last time on Improv Tabletop, gathering themselves together after the loss of the first member of their fellowship, our heroes decided that it was time to continue on their way toward Mount Doom and the fires thereof. As they were about to head through the forest when they ran into Treebeard, who informed them that Lothlorien is the elvish word for what the Ents call Fangorn. And so Treebeard helped them get through the forest, where they got to a split path kind of situation. One path leading towards Rohan and King Theoden, the other leading towards Isengard, where Saruman was crafting his foul magics. So they split up into two groups. And the first group we followed was Courage and Gandalf and their friends, who were heading towards Rohan. And when they arrived, they discovered that Theoden King had his mind twisted by Freaky Fred, a terrible servant of Saruman. And so Gandalf engaged in a one-on-one battle with Freaky Fred, in which he smote him down with his staff and his magics, just in time for the Rohirrim to show up. Then they were like, okay, well, Theoden, you're cool now, your mind is back, but holy cow, there are Uruk-hai and wild men marching on Helm's Deep. We gotta go to Helm's Deep, we gotta save our people. So they headed off towards Helm's Deep, and then we cut over to see what Rigby and Treebeard are doing, and you know, they just defeated Saruman while everybody else was taking care of Theoden. So we all met back up at Helm's Deep in time for a great battle that was going to ensue. And during this battle, pies were thrown, bazookas were fired, walls were exploded, Nazgul showed up. It was wild, it was crazy. And during the midst of all of this, even though the battle was a success in the end, Courage had put the ring on his finger and had seen into the eye of Sauron and decided that it was his duty as the ring bearer to slip away unseen so that he could carry the ring into Mordor on his own, except Eustace is also there because he's your trouble and you can't get rid of him. And so our party is divided. What's going to happen now that they are going their separate ways? Let's find out here in the world of Return of the King. What's shaking, everybody? You're listening to Improv Tabletop, the Fate RPG actual play where we make up everything on the spot. I'm Ned Wilcock, your host and GM, and today I'm joined by
Caleb Anderton, thinking about all we have to cover.
Christian Randall, I'm sticking to the canon.
Thomas Ryan, I sure hope Samurai Jack comes and saves me.
Yeah, it would be good if, you know, we brought back Samurai Jack or Ed or any of the other stuff that we established in the first episode that we completely forgot.
It's fine. Don't worry about it too much.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it too much. In fact, I'm going to not worry about it so much that we're just going to jump right into the action here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to start off by making a roll to see which group we're going to be following. Are we going to follow Gandalf and Rigby? Or are we going to follow Courage? We're starting off with Gandalf and Rigby. Victory! Outside Helm's Deep, all of your enemies slain, while inside you are safe and warm and eating a big ol' feast in celebration. And so there's people all around drinking. There's a dwarf and an elf having a drinking contest over in one side of the feasting hall, and it seems like the elf is winning. And King Theoden comes up to you and says, I am very grateful for the help and the assistance you have offered to my people, particularly to me in helping to clear my mind from its terrible stupor that was cast upon me by Saruman and Freaky Fred. But I fear that our brethren in Gondor may be in need of aid. They're so much closer to Mordor than we are. Surely, if Mordor's forces have already taken over us, they are sure to be taking over Gondor as well.
I'm going to look at a map. Are they closer to Mordor?
Obviously they're closer. They're on the way to Mordor.
The map just is what it needs to be, man.
Yeah, you look between you and Mordor and you see, hey, there's Gondor right in the middle of us.
You can see it from here.
I feel a great obligation to save my brethren because Gondor was there when the Westfold fell, you know?
Wow. Now that's a change to the canon.
Let's see how messed up we can make this before this ends.
I agree, King Theoden.
Yeah, I'm all for a fight. Skips and I are always ready to throw down, see what kind of trouble we can get into.
Very well then, I shall muster up all of my riders, all of the men. The women can stay behind, because we don't allow women on the battlefield. That's canon, right?
Good heavens.
So, just to confirm as well, Samurai Jack and Ed are with us.
I'm going to make a roll real quick.
Oh no, do we lose them in the battle?
You scan the group, everybody partying, and you see off in one corner another figure has joined the drinking party with the elf and the dwarf.
Oh, this stuff tastes really weird, but it makes my brain all funny.
Oh, dear.
And you see no sign of Samurai Jack.
Oh, no.
No, not Samurai Jack.
Well, I'm going to just grab Ed by the scruff and chuck him out the front door, and we're going to... I mean, we have no time to waste. We have to get to Gondor.
Yeah, you look up and you see that there the beacons have been lit. Gondor is actively calling for aid.
That's a great idea. I wish I had thought of it.
Nice.
I'm doing a head count. Has anyone seen Courage? Courage and Eustace, where are they?
You hear a whole bunch of people starting to count off. No, I haven't seen him. Who was Courage's buddy? Wasn't Samurai Jack Courage's buddy?
Anybody seen Samurai Jack?
All the people just kind of look around and shrug.
I see a flaw in the buddy system.
Guys, I think I just figured out who Gollum is, and I think it's Eustace.
Oh, goodness.
That makes the most sense, honestly.
He's been with us the whole time.
We've got Courage as Frodo. We've got Samurai Jack as Samwise Gamgee.
Mm-hmm.
Samwise Jack.
Samurai's Gamgee.
Eustace is Gollum.
Yeah, Eustace is Gollum. Our three intrepid heroes.
That would mean that I wouldn't have to try and do a Gollum voice this early in the morning, which I'm not upset about. But yeah, King Theoden says, "We have no time to mourn the loss of these people. I'm sure that they're forwarding the story somehow in their own way. We must onward to Gondor."
Can I ride a horse? I'm just a little raccoon guy, but I want to start riding a horse towards Gondor.
All right, yeah. You can get a small little pony that they will offer you. It is... this pony, in fact, it's a My Little Pony. I know that that's not Cartoon Network, but we're kind of already in that vein.
Can I name this pony Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I've got a My Little Pony named Bill.
What's its cutie mark?
I don't know enough about My Little Pony, but I'm going to say a dwarven rune.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you start riding along, and you see riding along next to you, there's a couple unicorns, and they're looking off in the direction of Mordor, and one of them's like, "Doomy Mountain, Doomy Mountain, fill me with hot magma, your goodness."
Oh, my word.
And we're going, that's enough of that reference. So you guys start riding to Gondor. And we're going to cut over to Courage real quick. It's been pretty nasty walking to Mordor over these mountains. They're sharp. Eustace is riding on your back the whole time, not being any help whatsoever. And you have collapsed from exhaustion for goodness knows how many times. And you're thinking, how am I going to make it through this? And you pull yourself up over the next ridge, and you see a figure standing there, leaning up against one of the ridges. And he turns towards you and says, "I could not allow you to go off by yourself to your death, Master Courage."
Oh, Samurai Jack, thank you, thank you. I'll run over and, like, clasp onto him.
Yep, you grab him. Like, you leap up onto his shoulders. Eustace is still on your shoulders. And Samurai Jack glances up towards Eustace and turns towards you, Courage, and says, "This man says he is your friend, says he will guard you, but I believe that he is your enemy, in fact."
"I don't think he's ever said he would defend me."
"That's actually quite on brand."
"It's okay. He's here. Let's go."
Yeah, so you start continuing on your way towards Mount Doom and the fires thereof. And you're crawling up and over various bits of terrain, and you can see that there is a big wall with big black gates, and marching into those gates is a whole big horde of people in armor all from head to toe, with a chant that they're raising up as they're marching towards the black gates. What would you like to do?
"All right, Samurai Jack, I think we gotta make a run for it."
And Eustace, from the top of your head, says, "You'll never be able to make that, you stupid dog. I see a tunnel right up there going over the top of the mountains. Nothing bad can be in that tunnel." So, Samurai Jack wants you to go through the door. Eustace wants you to go up through the tunnel. Which would you like to attempt?
I guess the tunnel is probably safer.
There's a quick cut to Samurai Jack's eyes, a close-up. He just closes his eyes and looks off to the side and says, "Very well, then." And he starts carrying both of you up the mountain towards the pass at Cirithungol. Cirithungol? Which one is it?
Cirithungol.
So in Tolkien, a C is always pronounced with a hard noise.
Okay. You start heading up towards the tunnel, and you look in, and you can see a whole bunch of webs blocking your way.
Well, I guess that's that. There's nowhere else to go. Back to the gate.
Ah, come on, you stupid dog. This looks like my bedroom.
I'm going to try and push through.
All right.
I guess Samurai Jack will, because I'm riding on him.
Yeah, let's have you roll with careful to command Samurai Jack, I suppose, to Ratatouille Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack, I'm going to Ratatouille you. I know that's not your IP, but you'll understand in a second. Yes. I got a one. I have a plus three to careful, and I got a one.
Oh.
Yep, that is quite bad. I'm going to roll for something in the dark to see if it notices you. Yeah, so you begin pushing your way through, taking steps over webs where you can, having Samurai Jack deftly chop through them with his katana, his magic sword, where you can't get over them. And after you've been traveling through for a while, Samurai Jack stops in his tracks and says, I hear chittering in the darkness. And you too can hear chittering in the darkness. Roll with clever to see if you can figure out where it's coming from.
That's a three.
All right. You got a tie with the thing that you are rolling against. Let's see, a tie to overcome. You can succeed at a minor cost, or I can let you fail outright. Which would you prefer?
Oh.
I mean, I know what's in the dark.
Do you?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I know how Ned's mind works. I've been inside of that thing. I think I'm going to say it right now. I think it's the giant spider from, I think, the first episode of Courage when they're at the hotel.
The Cat's Motel?
Yeah, because there's like a giant spider in that one. And I think that's what it is. But anyway.
You know he's got to subvert expectations.
I'm going to fail outright. That's what I'm going
to
do.
All right. So you are looking around trying to figure out where this sound is coming from. And eventually you hear a little voice kind of speaking right into your ear from next to you. And it's a voice that says, you want to know what's in those webs? You want to know what's in those webs? You don't want to know what's in those webs. It is not actually the spider, but it is the beetle. If you remember that episode when Muriel goes to the big city so that she can play sitar for all of the people.
Oh, man. I think you've cut too deep.
I cut too deep?
Wow.
Yes. I cut too greedily and too deep?
Cut too greedily and too deep. I don't remember that.
Yeah, you turn to look at this figure, and it's this beetle standing like head and shoulders above all of you on two hind legs with like a cigar in his hand. Yeah, you want to know what I do with the people who get caught in those whips? You want to know what the people... What, you want to know? No, you don't want to know what I do with the people who get caught in those
whips. I think I would like to know what happens.
He reaches towards you all with a claw. What would you like to do?
Scream.
All right.
And then run away.
Okay, so we're in a chase. We're going to do contest rules for this. You're going to try and get three victories before the beetle gets three victories. So you start running through the tunnels, all kinds of full of webs. You hear the skittering noise behind you. What would you like to do?
I'm still on Samurai Jack, so I'm going to try and ratatouille him forward.
Yep, that sounds careful enough to me. The beetle is going to roll with quick to try and get you.
Got a three.
Beetle gets a flat zero.
Nice.
Whoa.
So that is success with style. That means two victories for you so far.
Hot dog.
And so you are finding just the right passageways to juke to the side. The beetle ends up getting caught in one of the webs at one point, but manages to pull himself free. Hey, come on now. Come on now. I need you to get a package for me. I need you. You got that ring. I need you to deliver that ring to me. Come on. You want to know what I'm going to do with that ring? You want to know what I'm going to do with that ring?
No.
You don't want to know what I'm going to do with that ring.
I just said that.
Round two. What would you like to do?
I'm going to get the file out of Galadriel. I want to blind them so I can run away faster.
All right. That sounds flashy. But since you're using this item, I will give you a free invoke if you want.
I mean, I got four.
Ooh. Yeah, and the beetle only got a plus one. He's been rolling terrible. which I just remembered, the beetle's name is Schwick, which is short for Bushwick, but you don't want to call him Bushwick, you call him Schwick. So that's the official reference there. Yeah, you pull out the file and you blind this beetle, and you can see his two big eyes that are like bulging out the side of his head. He covers them with his claws and says, ah, dang it, I hate this. This is terrible. And that gives you enough time to make your escape through the light at the other side of the tunnel.
Keep going, Samurai Jack. He's after us.
Yeah, he takes one final leap does a front flip through the air with you and Eustace both still on his back, and he goes skidding to the other side on his wooden sandals, and you have successfully made it through the pass at Kirithungal.
The rare triple stack front flip.
Because Samurai Jack is that good.
Samurai Jack is legend.
He is.
All right. I suppose we should carry on then.
I will keep calm and carry on.
And as you continue walking towards Mount Doom, let's cut back over to Gandalf and Rigby. You have been riding. Have you done anything on the way, or do you just want to cut right to Gondor?
I've just been annoying people, but we can cut to Gondor.
I don't think we should cut that.
What annoying things has Rigby been doing on the way to Gondor?
I've just been saying things that I'm seeing and then saying rhyming words until I run out and then saying a new thing. And you know what? I want to be to the point where Gandalf and Pippin share a look of like, this guy.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll say, like, you've been riding along. Pippin is getting so annoyed by all this, but he's also so bored that, like, after they shoot that terrible glance at you, he looks and he goes, Osgiliath. And then he tries to think of something that rhymes with Osgiliath, and he gives up. All right, but yeah, you make it to the gates of Gondor, but you can see the sky blackening behind you, a massive horde of orcs on their way, bringing with them their olifants, bringing with them Grond, the arm of the devil itself. So yeah, you got here just in time, but you don't got a whole lot of time before the siege is going to start. What would you like to do now that you're here?
I guess we should check in with whoever's the highest authority, you know, introduce ourselves.
Yeah, I'm going to head up to that guy and see if I can help him out in some, you know, obviously we've got a big battle coming up. This battle might even culminate in a battle at the Black Gate or something like that. We got to get some strategy going on, and Gandalf would like to help with that.
Yeah, so you head up to the White Tower to meet with the Steward of Gondor, and as you burst in through the doors, you hear a voice from the throne say, "You know who's gonna save cities? My son!"
Oh no!
Good heavens.
Muscle Dad? Is that you?
Muscle Dad, oh my goodness.
"But my son is dead, so who's gonna save the city?"
I'm gonna run over to Muscle Man and see if he looks okay.
He is distraught. His face is just smeared with tomato sauce from a pizza that he's been eating. As you approach, he goes, "Rigby, you are gonna be able to save the city. You're too much of a wimp." And he's gonna try and win punchies against you. Go ahead and roll with Forceful to try and not lose at punchies against Muscle Man.
Absolutely. I am gonna try and use Block of Death, but we'll see how this goes. All right, Forceful. Oh, he's so strong. Oh, 3 plus 2 plus 3.
So that's a tie.
Muscle Man, I've gotten a lot stronger on this journey. Just you. And then I'm assuming he's gonna punch me again.
Yep, he's gonna go in for a second hit.
That's more like it. -2.
And he gets a +4. Before you can finish your sentence, he catches you right in the teeth with his fist, and you go flying back up against the far wall.
Gandalf, do something. Okay, is this guy's name Muscle Man or Muscle Dad?
Officially, his name is Muscle Man, but in this instance, I guess he's Muscle Dad.
Well, Muscle Dad is Muscle Man's dad.
That's true.
Oh.
There's two characters.
Okay, this is Muscle Man.
Okay.
But we're calling him Muscle Dad in this instance a bit.
Okay. Muscle Dad. No, Muscle Man. There are orcs, olifants, Uruk-hai, wargs, Grond, the battering ram, not the warhammer of Morgoth, and many other things come to your gates. We must battle, and we must buy time for our ring-bearer courage to return the ring or suffer the wrath.
All is hopeless. There is nothing that can save Gondor now that my son is dead.
So dumb.
I just like to whack him on the head and knock him out for the remainder. I'll take over the city.
All right, yeah.
Gandalf just straight up like, I'm not doing this.
One interaction with Muscle Dad, and he's like, nope, I'm done. I'm out of here.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking maybe I'd try and hack the social combat rules from Savage Worlds here, but nah, look, go ahead and roll with Forceful to knock him out.
Come on, dice.
He's going to try and dodge with Quick.
That's a +4.
He gets a +1. Yeah, you knock out Muscle Man on the throne.
Yes. Well, that's enough of that. Prepare for battle.
I will pick my broken body up off of the ground and go post up by one of the trebuchets.
All right. And Gandalf, to where do you go?
I will position myself on top of the walls where I can survey everything and start ordering people where to go, start planning out this battle. There's a lot that needs to happen here. There's a lot of defenses that need to be run, and I'm ready to run it all.
All right. Sounds to me like perhaps it's time to set up some situational aspects for this battle.
Yeah.
So, Gandalf, amongst all of your planning, all of your organization, what's like the main thing that you're doing to set yourself up for success in this battle?
I am going to inspire and pump up our soldiers and everybody, knowing that while this battle may be important, it is not the real battle. The real battle is being fought somewhere by a small, cowardly dog, and we simply need to hold out and give him everything that we've got to make sure that he can complete his mission. And I just want everybody to be unified and remember that and know that so that we can hold out together.
All right. I think we'll call this aspect for courage.
Yes.
Go ahead and roll unmodified, difficulty of 0.
Dang it. That's a -3.
Ooh. You got fate points.
Yeah, you can reroll this if you would like to.
Absolutely. That is worth a fate point. That's better. That's a +2.
All right, so that's one free invoke on for courage. And all of the people are getting suitably pumped up. Let's go over to Rigby. What are you doing to prepare for the siege?
Is my bazooka still working?
I believe so. I'm going to make a roll real quick, though, just to make sure it's not, like, malfunctioning or anything. That's a +4. Your bazooka is functioning so well.
It got powered up after the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah, this is like, by the time you were done with the Battle of Helm's Deep, you saw a little video game overlay appear in front of your face that was like, would you like to increase blast radius? Would you like to increase accuracy? Would you like to increase base damage?
I'm going to go ahead then and sit myself down inside the sling of one of the trebuchets.
Oh, I think we'll call this aspect toss me.
Mm-hmm. And I want Skips to man the trebuchet.
All right. Go ahead and roll unmodified difficulty 0.
I'll take it. That's a +2.
All right. One free invoke here. And now I am going to, so that we don't forget about Ed, I'm going to make him a situational aspect. I'm going to roll for it.
Yes, Ed.
Gandalf would like to place Pippin in a trebuchet, please.
Good heavens.
Yeah, you place Pippin to one of the trebuchets. He looks down to see who's manning it, and Ed says,
"Worry not, Master Pippin. I will make sure that you shall survive this terrible siege against us in the honor of all men across Middle Earth."
He gets a +1, so that is one free invoke on Ed.
Good.
All right.
Oh, sorry. I remembered something else.
Yeah.
I was kind of assuming our gifts from Elrond were going to be one-time use things, but I'm seeing that Rigby is making good use of that rocket launcher. So I'm going to take Elrond's 3 long, beautiful hairs and tie them around the top of my head like a headband. And I want to see if that can add to my persuasiveness or anything.
Interesting.
With any of these preparations.
Yeah.
I do trust a person with beautiful hair more so.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
That's true. Yeah, when you get to your situations in which you are commanding, tacticianizing the people around you, we will keep those hairs in mind as we get to that point.
Okay.
But now that the siege is almost upon us, a silence clings to the air right before the final rush of the orcish army. Let's cut back over to courage and see how things are going in Mordor. So you continue along your way. You've passed the Black Gates, you've passed Kirith Ungol, and now it's basically just one final long stretch between you and Mount Doom. Is there anything that you'd like to do to help expedite the journey?
Are there any eagles in the area?
I'm going to make a luck roll to see if there are any eagles in the area.
We should have just taken the eagles.
That is a -1. There are no eagles in the area.
I suppose we just got to go for it.
All right. You continue pushing yourself. Let's have you make one forceful check. You feel the ring beginning to weigh heavier upon you as the bearer. Let's have you roll with forceful to see if you can manage to maintain your constitution here.
Forceful is hands down my worst stat. Ooh, and I got a minus two.
Oh.
A minus two. I'm going to roll forceful for the ring to see how much it's trying to weigh down on you.
Just a little puppy, man. You can't do this.
Oof. Well, that's a plus six for the ring.
I mean, it makes sense for the story.
Yeah, that's what, eight shifts of stress against you?
Don't I just die out right now?
if you assign all of it to your stress track, then you could, or you could assign some of it to your consequences.
All right, give me a six consequence.
Oh, a six wow. consequence. Oh, boy. I'm going to call your severe consequence golemizing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is, so we were talking just before we started recording, you know, my birthday was a couple days ago as we are recording this, and Thomas was like, you're 1 year wiser. Did you get all of that wisdom gradually over the course of that year, or did it all hit you just at once? So I think this is an instance where in the movies we saw Frodo golemizing gradually over time.
Oh, no.
In this instance, it's hitting you all at once.
Oh, boy.
Do I just like, and then get all twisted and gross and my precious.
You see Eustace from your shoulders going, hey, suddenly you look a little bit more like me. I feel like I can relate to you more all of a sudden.
Don't look at me.
So yeah, the journey has been a little bit rough for Courage. But yeah, now we're making it to the final stretch, you climbing up Mount Doom. And we're going to cut back over to the battle for Minas Tirith. So the orcs are beginning to charge the walls. They've got their trebuchets. They're starting to throw big old chunks of rock at you folks. They've got their siege towers that they're pushing up towards the walls. What would you like to do to defend Minas Tirith?
Can I have Skips pull the lever?
Yeah, you're going to use toss me right off the bat?
Toss me.
Hold the lever, Skips.
All right. Presumably you're just going to be firing your bazooka every which way while you're in the middle of the air.
Yep, and I'm just going to try and use the kickback to keep me airborne because I'm just a little guy.
Oh, right. It's like in the A-Team where they're firing the tank so that they can move it in the direction yeah. they want to go.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. This sounds pretty flashy to me.
I mean, if we're playing cartoons, we have to use cartoon logic.
We do, in fact.
That's science.
In some world, it's science, you might say.
In this one.
In this exact world, it is science.
I rolled only a plus three.
Only
a plus three.
I'm going to use a fate point.
Okay.
And I'm going to use stop talking to try and make these orcs silenced forever.
All right.
And I'm not going to reroll. I really turned a corner here. Wow, I'm not rerolling.
Right?
I'm just going to take a plus two to give me a plus five.
Okay, so that is including the free invoke from Toss Me?
No.
Make it bigger.
You know what? If I'm using the free invoke, then that's going to be a plus five, six, seven.
Seven, that is a significant number there. According to our ladder, that is an epic roll.
Epic.
So,
I mean, I imagine a raccoon shooting a bazooka flying through the air is pretty epic.
Yeah. You, as you're flying through the air, you're just shooting rocket after rocket. Boom, 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 boom. You're blowing up all of their trebuchets as they're trying to launch the stones towards the walls. The people here are getting pretty intimidated by your presence. You rolled so well that at the beginning of the next turn, you're still going to be airborne.
If only Mordecai could see me now!
Cut to a distant figure. Light shining through the darkness as figures are rushing towards Minas Tirith. But that's all we're going to see of that for now. At this point, Gandalf, what would you like to do?
I would like to, first of all, take out all the trolls so that the siege towers don't even get here.
Ooh.
Okay. In what manner are you going to do this?
I'm going to go along the ramparts and command all of the archers and soldiers with any ranged weapons and say, leave the siege towers, aim for the trolls, and I'll go around and I'll inspire them with my hair and with cleverness.
Yes, with your tactician's mind here. Go ahead and roll to overcome with clever, and I'll say, since, you know, we only got one episode left, we'll say that you can burn one of these hairs from Elrond for a free invoke on this if you would like.
Ooh, whoa. I like that. So that's a +3.
And if you use one of the invokes, then you can get +2.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use an invoke, burn a hair with a single tear going down my face for the loss of their beauty. And I'm going to make that a +5.
All right. Yeah, that's a very good roll from Gandalf. Now let's go to the orc hordes. I'm going to make, I think, two separate rolls here. One for just the orc hordes in general, and then one specifically for Gothmog, the half-troll leader of this army. So, for the hordes, they are just trying to press up against you as forcefully as they can. Woohoo! That's a -1 that they rolled on the dice here.
Yeah.
I think that is probably worth a fate point for them to try and re-roll. That's +2. Okay. Okay, I've only got 2 fate points left, so we'll leave that where it is. And now Gothmog, he, seeing all the people around him starting to kind of cower back in fear from seeing all of these rockets just flying everywhere from this spinning whirlwind of raccoonness and epicness up in the sky, Gothmog is going to look at all these people and say, "You maggots, fall in line!" And is going to crack a big old whip that I don't think he has in the movie, but it's convenient for him to have a whip right now because where there's a whip, there's a way. Am I right? Am I right? Okay. That's much better. That's a +4, but still not quite good enough to beat either of you. I'm going to have him spend one fate point to see if he can... Well, no, he's not going to reroll. He's just going to add a +1. That means that he beats Gandalf, but doesn't quite beat Rigby. So that is one victory for you guys on your side. Though I guess if we're comparing Rigby versus Gothmog, Gandalf versus the Hordes, then that actually would be 2 victories for you guys because the Hordes rolled terrible.
Yeah.
Poor Hordes.
Yeah, 2 victories for you guys on your side. You only need 1 more victory in order to take care of the teeming masses in front of you, but you can already begin to see off on the distance, riding through the darkened skies, a terrible flapping as the Witch King of Angmar is on his way to help in this battle.
Oh no.
So yeah, hasn't quite reached the battle. Maybe a final boss kind of figure, but okay, let's go to round 2. Rigby, you are still mid-air from your bazooka blast. What would you like to do next?
I would like to do 1 extra shot towards the ground to get a little extra height, and then I'm just gonna yell out, "Skips, catch me!" And I'm going to try and land in his beautiful arms and then spin in a circle, shooting a bunch of bazookas.
All right. So you're going to try and make a strategic retreat back to the walls.
No, I want Skips to run all the way out to the middle of the field and catch me.
Oh, that's what we're doing. Okay. So we're trying to persuade Skips here. And I mean, he is your stunt.
Oh, do I want to use my stunt at this battle? You know what? Yeah, I'm going to use my stunt. I'm just going to say Skips is that powerful and amazing. He can slide on his super awesome gauntlets of fighting and come and catch me.
Yeah, so Skips definitely will be able to catch you, carry you back to safety. But let's have you make one more flashy roll to send out one final tornado of missiles towards these orcs before you go.
Wow. I have a +3 to flashy, and I got a -1.
Nice. Ooh.
You know what that means? All minuses on the dice.
That it does.
You gotta re-roll that.
We've got 1 free invoke on For Courage, and we've got 1 free invoke on Ed.
I would like to use the free invoke on Ed so that he pulls the lever and shoots Pippin,
yes,
to assist me in the air. And I will re-roll.
Yeah, you see, as you're re-rolling, you see that Ed is watching the situation. He's like, "What would Double D do in this situation?" And he's like in his brain trying to calculate your trajectory. It's like, "Oh no, Skips is running so fast, but Rigby's not going to be able to quite make it. Wait a second. If I just shoot Pippin so he collides with Rigby, he will deflect Rigby in just the right way." So he pulls the lever on the trebuchet. Rigby, what do you get for your reroll?
Let's see. Oh my gosh. One of them turned from a minus to a plus, but the other 3 are still minuses. So the minus and plus cancel out. -2, +1.
"I know! The math is incontrovertible!"
And he fires Pippin just in absolutely the wrong direction.
As Pippin is flying through the air, Gandalf just gives him a huge smile and a thumbs up and mouths, "Worth it."
All right, yeah. Pippin is flying directly towards Gothmog. We'll see what happens with that at a later time. So, yeah, not because of Ed's interference per se, but because you are able to course correct. You, like, fire off one missile just at the right moment so that you do land in Skip's arms. But even then, it's still only a plus one. Not an amazing roll for you.
No.
So let's go over to Gandalf. What would you like to do?
Boy, Pippin. Pippin is flying towards Gothmog. We just kind of... Oh, we still have for courage, right?
We still have a free invoke on for courage, yes.
Okay. I'm going to use my magic to... I don't know if this is canonical at all, but we're doing it.
yeah, because we're very concerned about the canon.
Yeah, to make sure that Pippin has his sword out and is flying point first toward Gothmog as a pointy projectile. I'm using Pippin as a weapon here.
All right. That sounds pretty clever to me. Roll to overcome, or roll to fight, whichever one it is.
That's a plus four.
Oh, nice.
All right.
With the free invoke of for courage?
Nope, I have not used that.
Okay, let's roll for Gothmog real quick to see how good he is at sidestepping this projectile. He is pretty good at sidestepping projectiles. He gets a plus three.
Okay, I'm going to save that invoke. So we'll take the one shift.
Okay, so Pippin goes flying straight into Gothmog's face and pins him down to the ground. Now I'm going to roll for the hordes to see how well they do. And they only got a plus one.
We tied?
They see that their leader is dead on the ground, and they're like, this is pretty rough. This is not great. So we have a tie between the hordes and Rigby, but one final victory between Gandalf and Gothmog. So you guys are at three victories. The orc hordes are just about to be routed and sent off back towards Mordor, but there is a screeching on the air. By this time, Skips has brought Rigby back up to the top wall with Gandalf. You're gathered together just in time for this fell beast to land on the ramparts not too far away from you, and a figure leaps down, doing a couple double front flips on the way.
Oh no.
And it stands with its back towards you, and you hear the sound of a sword being unsheathed and a big old thud as a morning star lands on the flagstones. And then you hear a second unsheathing of a second sword and a second thud as a second morning star lands on the flagstones. And a voice says, "General Mithrandir."
Oh, no. No.
Good heavens.
The ages it has been since we faced each other in worthy combat.
And General Grievous starts spinning his two lower arms so that the two morning stars are just like a weed whacker of death as he begins advancing towards you.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Gandalf is scared. This is animated 2D Clone Wars, Grievous. This guy is scary.
So, the two of you versus General Grievous, what would you like to do?
Oh, man. I already used Skips. I would like to drop my bazooka and just go into a full sprint to try and do like a combo punching move against General Grievous's face.
All right.
In fact, you know what? I'll hand my bazooka to Ed. I trust him.
Yeah, great idea. So you're trying to do a combo punch. I mean, even though you're not using the bazooka anymore, with your Death Kwon Do understanding, Death Kwon Do is a very flashy sort of martial art, so we'll give you flashy on this one.
Oh, yeah. I'm just screaming, "Punch of Death!" over and over. All right, that is a plus four.
Okay, Grievous is going to try and just deflect you away with his Morning Stars using Forceful. Only getting a plus two, actually. So, yeah, you managed to fly in over these spinning chains and steel balls, and you land on top of his head and start punching in at his helmet, and you can see it's starting to ding in a little bit, almost as if it's beginning to implode, and you go flying off to the other side, having done your sort of hit-and-run aerial strike there. He takes two stress. Would you like Gandalf or Grievous to go next?
Ooh, I want Grievous to go next. I want to see what this guy can do.
Yeah, he stops the spinning motion and then he kind of rears back both of his lower arms and with a whip-like speed is going to shoot both Morning Stars directly at you with Forceful.
Uh-oh.
How would you like to defend?
I would like to defend with Flashy. Specifically, I want to preemptively use a fate point and invoke, I can't carry it for you, but I can steal it from you. And I want to try and take one of these Morning Stars from him.
Okay. I like that. Roll with Flashy.
That is a plus 6.
That beats Grievous's plus 5.
Oh, no way.
So yeah, he shoots them both towards you, and using your Death Kwon Do skills, you let one of them wrap around your forearm, and with a deft tug, you pull it from his grip. So you now have one of the Witch King's Morning Stars. And then Grievous is going to pass it over to Gandalf.
All right. I am going to see, wrapped in the black cloak and in his metal armor, the beating heart of Grievous, the Witch King, inside his rib cage. And I'm going to carefully time and cleverly attack so that a beautiful beam of pure white light shoots straight into his heart to light him on fire.
Yeah.
So uncivilized. Roll to attack with Clever. He's going to try and defend with, I think, Clever as well to see if he notices that you're waiting for this opportunity. And Grievous gets a plus 2.
Ooh.
Okay, I got a plus 2 on the dice. I'm going to spend a fate point and invoke You Shall Not Pass to add plus 2 to that. And I'm also going to invoke For Courage and add plus 2 to that for a plus 6.
Okay.
Jeez.
You are wrecking this guy.
Plus 6 against his plus 2. That is 4 shifts of damage. You see his heart does indeed begin to catch fire. And in this final moment of desperation, he begins flailing that Morning Star even faster around him. Gandalf, who would you like to go next?
Rigby, finish him off. The small and simple shall conquer the world.
I would like to just bonk him on the head with his own Morning Star.
All right. Sounds maybe forceful.
I'll do it.
Okay.
That is a plus 1.
Ooh, he's going to try and dodge with Quick. It's a plus 4.
Oh, boy.
Got one fate point left.
Do it.
I'm going to use Stop Talking, and I'm going to use my last fate point to reroll.
Oh, boy.
Stop talking!
The final Stop Talking.
I'm pretty sure I hit myself.
Oh, no.
Got a minus 2.
Jeez.
I rolled way worse.
Yeah, you're going in for that final strike, and Ed comes up. He's like, I can help you, Master Rigby. And he gets in the way of the Morning Star.
Ed, no!
You bonk him upside the head. It comes flying back towards you, bonks you on the head. Don't take any damage, but you definitely don't hit Grievous. Who'd you like to go next?
Can I have Ed go?
Ed? Sure, we'll have Ed go.
I gave him my bazooka.
Yeah, why not? Ed, as he is reeling from being hit on the head with this Morning Star, he's kind of doing one final spin as the birds are on his head before he's going to fall flat on his back. And as he's spinning, we're going to roll to see if that bazooka manages to fire at Grievous. That is a plus 4.
Yes.
Come on, Ed.
Wow, spinning. That's a good trick.
Yeah, Grievous going to try and dodge with Quick. That's a plus 3.
Ed is no man. He's a kid. Yes.
He's a teen, dang it.
So as Grievous's body is being consumed from within by the fire, the final missile from the bazooka goes flying and lands straight in the center of the mask that Grievous is wearing. But instead of exploding outwards, you see it begins to implode, the helmet crumbling and crunching as it forms into this tiny little ball of metal before Grievous finally falls to the ground, defeated.
Wow, Ed, that was amazing. And I'm just like fully wrapped up in the chains of the of the Morning Star.
And Ed, as he's lying on his back, he sees the birds are circling around his head and he goes, oh, chickens. Let's cut over to Courage. You have reached the fires of Mount Doom. You are inside the mountain. You're on the final causeway leading out over the magma. The ring is in your hand. Samurai Jack has carried you all this way. What would you like to do?
Well, it is precious to me. I think I'll keep it for myself.
I'm going to put the ring on and boogie.
Oh, courage. So you start to try and run away, and Eustace goes, hey, give me that, stupid dog. He's going to try and steal the ring from you.
I put the ring on. Does that give me anything?
I mean, technically, did he ever get off your back, even when you put the ring on?
He's already there.
I guess that's a good point. He's going to roll with, I think, forceful to try and keep you from leaving. You would be rolling with sneaky, I think, to try and get out of the way.
Yeah. One.
Oh, that's a plus three from Eustace.
Yes.
Can I invoke things?
What would you like to invoke?
I like less than half of you twice as much as you deserve.
All right.
I would also like to invoke the things I do for love of the ring.
Oh, no.
And what does golemizing do as a consequence? What's the like mechanical effect of that?
Well, now that Courage has plus five over Eustace's plus four, Eustace is going to spend his fate point to invoke golemizing. He too is golemizing.
Oh, he can use it against you.
Yep, he's going to bring that up to a plus six.
What can I invoke? I have the Palantir. I'm going to throw it at Eustace.
You're going to chuck the Palantir.
Well, the Palantir isn't one of your aspects.
It says Scrying Stone from Swamp on my list of items.
It's an item.
Yeah. So how are you going to just...
No, never mind. I'm going to throw the computer at him. How about that?
The computer?
That's what I stun.
The entire computer?
I'm keeping this ring.
All right. So you spend your final fate point to bring you up to a plus seven against Eustace's plus six.
Yes.
Come on, Eustace.
Yeah. You toss the computer. He's out of fate points. So the computer hits him in the face and carries him over the edge into the magma.
Oh, no.
And as they're sinking down, you hear the computer say, you twit.
Beautiful.
The ring is all mine.
I'm running.
Yeah, you turn to face the entrance and you hear, shing, Samurai Jack is still standing in your way.
You can't stop me, Samurai Jack.
He hears you speak and says, there you are.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, shoot.
He's going to roll forceful to try and cut the ring from your hand.
Do I even roll anything for that? Just sneaky?
Yeah, roll sneaky to try and dodge.
That's a zero. This game really does not want me to keep the ring.
I mean, Samurai Jack only rolled a plus one.
Oh, that's all it takes, though.
You guys blew all my fate points.
Yep.
And he blew all of his fate points, too. So in the last moment, you feel a sharp pain as the ring and your finger go flying off into the magma.
Oh!
And Samurai Jack looks down towards you and says, it's all right. This is a cartoon. It will grow back.
We have no continuity between episodes. Your hand will be fine next one.
And he picks you up onto his back and says, you just lost Eustace. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm really not too upset about it, but the Ariel's not going to be happy.
She'll get over it. And Samurai Jack begins carrying you out of the mountain. And you can see off in the distance the Tower of Barad-dûr beginning to fall and crumble. And you hear the voice one final time say, you returned the ring, but I didn't expect it to happen like that. And as the eye hits the ground, a great explosion ripples out all across Middle Earth. And let's do just a quick little epilogue for each of our characters to see how things turned out. Let's start with Rigby. What's Rigby doing now that you saved Middle Earth?
Well, I'm curious about what that quick little flashback was. So I'm going to try to head back towards the park. And if it comes to it, I'll have to go back into the mines to find my friends.
Yeah, you get back to the park and Mordecai and Benson are both in their enlightened forms. Mordecai the White and Benson the White.
Oh, man.
Or I guess would Ben...
That's amazing.
We'll actually say that Benson is Benson the Many-Colored. Ooh. Because he's got all those gumballs. Ooh. In his head.
I'm Rigby with the bazooka. And I'm just going to adjust my football helmet and pads, strap the bazooka to my back, and continue my misadventures with Mordecai the White.
Yeah. I mean, sounds about right. You get back to him and you see he's ascended. He sees that you've ascended and he just goes, And Benson rolls his eyes and says, I guess you both deserve a raise.
Yeah. And then we freeze frame and a high five.
Now we cut over to Gandalf. What happens with Gandalf?
First of all, Gandalf goes and returns two out of the three hairs to Elrond and says,
You have some split ends. You should really take care of that. Go see a barber more.
gives them to Elrond. And after that, I mean, he's still Gandalf the Grey. Gandalf is going to retire in the Shire, in Hobbiton, and just party with the hobbits.
It's, what a great life.
It's illegal fireworks, it's old Toby, and it's the green dragon, and it's just a party all the time with Gandalf there.
Yeah, and you're kind of sitting with your legs kicked up on one of the tables, and Pippin is busy regaling all of the other hobbits with the tales of the time he killed the general of Mordor's army, and he looks over at you and just gives you a respectful nod.
And I will begrudgingly return the nod of respect and mutter under my breath, "Fool of a Took."
And finally, Courage. What happens with Courage?
Well, I guess Courage just goes back home to the middle of nowhere. And Eustace isn't there, so things are actually kind of turning up Courage right now.
Yeah. The dark sky that typically surrounds your little nowhere shack has actually turned to a blue, bright sky with birds chirping. And Muriel says, "I think that relationship was maybe toxic and I didn't realize it. Thank you, Courage."
I agree, Muriel.
And then I'll cuddle up. Because I am a dog.
And as the camera pans out back from the middle of nowhere, we see the world of Middle-earth beginning the dawn of a new age. The age of men. And I guess that's it.
I guess that's it.
You know, it's a good campaign when it ends with, "I guess that's it."
Yep.
Who became the king?
Yeah, it's Rituna the king.
Who became the king?
Oh, Ed became the king.
Ed became the king.
Oh, good heavens.
I mean, I'm sure going to be a better king than Muscle Man was.
That's a low bar.
Muscle Man was never a king. He was a steward.
That's true. That is a good point.
Is Johnny Bravo, like, cooking food in Muriel's kitchen?
Oh, no.
Courage, you got a new stepdad.
I don't like my new dad.
That's the post-credit little, like, thing, is just Courage looking at the camera, being afraid because of Johnny Bravo now.
What's Samurai Jack doing? That's what I want
to
know.
Samurai Jack, he figured out how to get transported back to his own time.
Oh, nice.
Good for him.
And one last question. Did Blossom survive that fall?
Blossom did survive that fall, yes.
Okay.
Did she ever turn back into a cartoon, or is she just stuck as a real-life person now?
Gonna roll for that.
Oh, no.
She's stuck as a person.
No!
Well, you know what? Could be worse.
That's the worst ending for a cartoon.
Yeah, the other girls are trying to figure out how to get enough Chemical X back into her to turn her back into a superhero.
Good heavens.
Well, everybody, that has been something. Thanks for listening. As a quick reminder, next month is a sticker month, so we won't have a fake campaign. But you are going to get the next Sonic book.
Oh, yeah. Man.
This one was surprisingly not horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is one of the ones you've already done.
Yeah, we already recorded this one.
Oh, I remember this one, then.
You've recorded so much Sonic, you can't keep track anymore.
Right? It's a brain curse.
Actually, you're right. That one wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it was okay. It was fine. So, yeah, get ready for that one coming up next month. And so, listener, if you want more, I don't know why you would want more, but if you do, go ahead and subscribe. Maybe even give us a review. We would be as happy as Johnny Bravo in a new home if you'll go ahead and give us a review on the podcatcher of your choice. We're also all over social media at Improv Tabletop, so if you'd like to connect with us there, maybe you'd like to talk with Caleb about some of the various Lord of the Rings related things that he's been up to lately, don't be afraid to reach out. Now it's time to shout out our next batch of Sticker Club patrons.
Yeah!
This time around, we've got Je Suis Savignin, Jim Packard, and the newest member of the Sticker Club, John Michael Carter Luckett.
Woo! Yeah, what a welcome.
Name. That's a heck of a name.
Yeah. If you joined because of Ratoon of the King, then, I mean, take that, Thomas.
this is ridiculous.
Yeah, these folks here, they are the puppet rulers who are pulling the strings behind Ed as he rules the age of men.
Are they Ed and Eddie?
Ed, Eddie, and Plank.
Yes. So, yeah, you are the ones who are making sure that things don't actually fall apart horribly and terribly here in Gondor, leading into the world that we currently live in now. Thank you for setting a good precedent for for us. We'll have more Sticker Club patrons to shout out next time. And if you, dear listener, want to join their ranks, consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/improvtabletop, where you can also get things like Discord access, biannual sticker packs, and more, such as our current ongoing patron-exclusive campaign, Miceborn, the Mouse Retro Chronicles.
Yeah.
Wahoo.
Yeah. Again, we didn't see Shelob at all in this campaign, it turns out. But again, if you want to see something that is very Shelob adjacent, go check out what we're doing right now on the Mouse Ritter Chronicles.
It's pretty spooky, nasty, gross.
Now let's do a round of plugs. Caleb, would you like to take that this time around?
Absolutely. Guys, we have a sister podcast called I Cast Fireball. They are firing up their second campaign right now. I hear that Ned is playing a bard that plays the marimba.
Oh, sorry, Kalimba.
Kalimba, which is really cool. He gave us a little demo a little earlier. Check it out. Give it a listen. I have a couple things I would like to plug. One, guys, I just got cast in my very first video game that I've ever done, which I'm pretty excited about that.
So cool.
I provided the voice of a troll guard that you interact with quite a lot in a video game coming out later this year on all platforms called Simon the Sorcerer Origins. I never played the original, but it was a 90s point-and-click game called Simon the Sorcerer. This is a prequel to that.
Very cool.
I'd appreciate it. I don't get royalties or anything, but it'd be cool if you want to hear me be a troll and play a video game at the same time. Then check that out when it comes out later this year.
I'm going to wishlist that on Steam right now.
Heck yeah. Also, guys, I do dabble in some Lord of the Rings nerdery stuff. If you are interested in the history of Middle-earth, diving deep into Tolkien, then go give the YouTube channel Secrets of the Rings a follow. I've been narrating for them for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And I have quite a few videos on the history of Middle-earth on just about any topic you can think of, and with more coming out every week. So that would be a huge help. We're trying to grow the channel. Shameless plug. There you go.
Very nice.
Back to you, Ned.
Man, how weird that we're actually doing a plug in the plug section.
That's not like us.
Bring back Evan and his performance art.
Oh, yeah. Once he's done with his masters, then we'll get him back into that. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us here in the world of Ritune of the King. I'm Ned Wilcock, your host and GM, and I've been joined by...
Caleb Anderton, three hairs short of a wig.
Christian Randall, always happy to have adventure time.
And Thomas Ryan, I forgot to mention this last time we recorded, but I finished The Two Towers, The Return of the King, and I'm one chapter shy of The Hobbit right now.
Oh, wow.
You are amazing.
That is dedication right there.
Legend.
If only all of us could have been so dedicated when they were crafting this world. Much love and stuff, everybody. We'll catch you next time on Improv Tabletop. He, seeing all the people around him starting to kind of cower back in fear as bazooka jets are flying everywhere. Siren?
That's the ambulance coming to help out the, the fallen orcs.
Just driving out of the gates.
Yep.
They run out. They just grab a guy, toss him on a stretcher, throw him in the back, and then drive back.
Again, cartoon logic.